CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.
The best of Pete Price on CityTalk 105.9.
Hello, Darius.
Pete, how are you?
Very well indeed.
What an incredibly generous and warm introduction.
My
I don't
pleasure.
Think I've been as warmly welcomed on a radio show in a long time.
Well, it's my pleasure. And as I said to you on the answer machine, you scared the living daylights out of me. When he left a message, I thought it was Stephen Pinder out of Brookside who played, of course,
really?
Macomb. He really did. I went, oh, my God, Stephen. Darius, wow. I don't know what to say. What's it like? It's such
a pleasure to be on the show.
What's it like to be from a pop star to becoming an opera star?
Well, I don't know if I'm becoming an opera star quite yet. I'm definitely in the process and the stages of, but I'm learning a lot from Rolando Villazón, who's arguably the world's greatest tenor of his generation,
mm-hmm.
and also from Catherine Jenkins, who I had the fortune of singing with last year at the Royal Albert Hall, but I was singing, you know, in my pop incarnation.
Yeah.
And really, opera has been a love of mine for many, many years. And when ITV approached me last year and said that they were doing this show called Pop Stars to Opera Star, that they would like me to be involved. And I just had this moment where I thought, I can't actually believe that they're doing this. I 15 years ago, turned down an opportunity to be trained classically. And I couldn't really believe my luck that I was getting a second chance at doing something in terms of opera. And I kind of fell in love with the idea.
It's interesting because Russell Watson, the first time I met Russell all those years ago,
yeah.
He was with Paul O'Grady at the North Pier Blackpool.
Yeah.
And he used to be karaoke singer.
That's right.
A lot of people, though, didn't like him crossing over, a lot of the snobs, the opera
right.
snobs.
Right.
But, I mean, my word, hasn't he done well?
He's done incredibly well, and I think that there's a real love for classical music, especially for certain types of mm. opera. And we just need to look back to the World Cup and to Nessun Dorma and the kind of avenue that opened up to a wider audience to listen to an older style of music that really has an incredible amount of passion and romance in it. And more recently, we've been very lucky that my fellow Scot, Susan Boyle, has been able to branch out, not just in terms of the UK, but internationally, to take a classical style of singing really to an audience that deserve to hear it and deserve to love it. And I've been, you know, captured myself by certain renditions of our operatic songs, from Il Divo to Josh Groban, and it's a style of music that really I feel it not only appeals to my parents' generation, which is how I was introduced to it, but I think whenever there are certain love songs that are sung operatically or certain arias that you hear, they stir something within you, even although you don't necessarily understand or know what the lyrics are saying. You know that it's about something profound or something deep, or, you know, it's definitely about some kind of heartbreak.
It's interesting you say that because I love classical music and I love opera. I don't understand it, but there's pieces, like you say, that are amazing. What Susan Boyle actually did was bring a piece of music from an incredible show, which has always been beautiful.
Yeah.
And many, many people, because she was, with respect, a very ordinary woman,
yeah.
And this voice came out and she sang I Dream a Dream, it was amazing. And it has opened doors for classical music and opera.
Yeah, it has. And when you watch the show Pop Star to Opera Star, it's the kind of show that I think very much appeals to myself, to my mum and dad, to my brothers, to the kind of audience that watch The X Factor or watch Britain's Got Talent, but then also want to be introduced to something new. And that's also a big part of the reason that I fell in love with the idea of it. And the idea of singing with a Philharmonic-level orchestra and work with some of the best people in the business in opera. And that, for me, has been a big challenge, because you go from singing pop and you kind of train yourself to learn how to play the guitar and to teach yourself how to write songs. And then you leave that, and for the last 3 years, I've been very lucky to have appeared as Billy Flynn in Chicago and take on the role that Ewan McGregor made famous in Guys and Dolls. And then last year, to performed in Gone with the Wind as Rhett Butler. And you learn a completely new style of singing for musical theatre. And in the past 5 weeks, I've had to take these two different styles that have taken me over the last 15 years, a long time to try and master, and put those to one side and actually try and unlearn them for a very different style and technique of singing, where you sing actually from the base of your stomach. And I'm learning all sorts of things about breathing and diaphragm and posture and the embouchure of the mouth and words that I can't even pronounce. But it's a fascinating experience and one that I've kind of thrown myself into. And I'm enjoying the growth that I'm getting to have each week as Devotees put me through.
Darius, let's leave pop star, the opera star, a moment and go back to when you did Burst Forth, which is a while ago now on the screens. And the reason I want to mention that is the talent shows now have become more and more, I don't know, there's an awful lot of people coming through that haven't got talent. What I want to get from you is, can you tell people of the pain? Because, you know, we're in the industry that, as a stand-up comic for 40 years, you go through so much pain. As a singer, you've gone through much pain, and you did it publicly on the screen because you believed in yourself. Can you explain that belief to people out there, for the people that want to do it, and how they can be knocked down?
Well, I think it comes down to what your love of music means to you. And for me, it meant being able to share the experiences that I was having as a young man in songs that I was writing. And for me, it was about playing the guitar and writing songs. And had there been a show called Singer-Songwriter Idol, I would have auditioned. But there wasn't. And I went along to this audition that happened to lead to a record deal, and I got to the final stages of it. And of course, my hopes, in a sense, were dashed when you get so close to attaining something and it just remains just out of your reach. But I look back to the advice that my parents have always given me and to my grandfather, who at the age of 14 worked in the Glasgow docks and supported a family of five and didn't have a father that was immediately there for him. And he really looked after his mother and his sisters. And, you know, he grew up in a different generation of a time of war and a time of Winston Churchill and the phrase, never, never, never give up. And it was something that he definitely gave me a sense of. And when I look at his life and everything that he achieved and growing from having nothing to being able to support a family and put two children through very respectable education and put his daughter, my mother, into a place where she could become a doctor. And there were many times where he faced adversity and where he was knocked down. And you kind of stand up and brush yourself off and try again. And that, for me, was the lesson that I learned from that very first audition. And it just didn't put me off. And that experience was one that I grew from. I didn't let it knock me down to the point of not being able to try again.
It's interesting you say that, because we both have something in common. I was on many years ago when you were a child. I was on New Faces. So I was marked by a panel.
Were you?
And I was judged by a panel. And that was live. And that was 13, 14 million people. And it was quite brutal. Luckily, I won my heat and got through to the semifinals. But it's nobody can explain that knot in your stomach, can they?
And did you do it as a stand-up comic?
As a stand-up comic, yeah.
That's fascinating. And do you remember that sense of elation?
To the second, talking to you right now, and thinking I've won, and have I won, and the nerves, and I'm not a nervous performer at all. I actually don't work well under nerves. And it was just a weird thing. But every time I look at it, I just think of people like you and all the panel, and you think to yourself, nobody knows what they're going through. Nobody has any idea.
Well, I suppose all your hopes and dreams are on the line, and what's interesting is it's a bit like going to a job interview, and it's that moment where you're told whether you get through or not, you know, whether you've got the job or not. And the only difference is you there are millions of people watching. And in that sense, it really does put the pressure up. And for me, doing this now, a lot of people said, you know, why are you doing this? you know, you've been in a position now where you've had a successful pop recording career, and you're now branching out as an actor in terms of the West End. And I'm doing it because I love opera, and my dad has this love of classical music, and I think deep down secretly he always wanted me to make that part of my career and to allow that to be the main reason for me to be able to sing. And I didn't follow that path. I was 13 years old. I managed to do this chance audition in the Scottish Opera, and I got into their production of Carmen, and we toured and we went down to London, and I managed to perform on the Covent Garden stage as a cheeky 13-year-old who was kind of chancing it because I was the only one that hadn't been classically trained that was kind of busking it. And I got into my second performance, and my parents came down to see me from Glasgow down to London, and we sat down and we had the first chat that I remember was a really important conversation. I was only 13, but I knew it was important because they said, look, you've got a life choice to make, and the decision that you make now will change the course of your life. You'll either stay in London and train classically and have a shot at being an opera singer, or you have to come back to Glasgow and come back to school and study hard and try and go to university. And I missed my mates in Glasgow, and I really was a pop rocker at heart. I was self-taught on the guitar. And it was just about the time when Britpop was about to take off, Oasis and Blur and the whole period of music that I fell in love with. And I really wanted to go home. So I said to my mum and dad, I said, look, mum, dad, I'm going to come back with you. And I want to be able to go to school and start my pop band. And that's what I did. And since then, I've always looked back and I've always wondered, what if, you know, what would have happened had I stayed in London, or had I trained classically, and what would have happened had that second night of singing on the Covent Garden stage, what if that wasn't my last night? And I often wonder, you know, would I have had a pop career? Well, probably not. It probably wouldn't have been the pop career that I've had so far. It would have probably been very different. And now I've been given this chance to have a second go at something that most people don't get a second shot at. Normally, when you're a kid, you're given a choice. You do an apprenticeship or you go to university, and then that sets your life course. You know, you train at something, and that kind of determines what you do for the rest of your life. And I've been given a chance in my late 20s now to have a shot at singing in a very, very different way. And it's something I'm incredibly grateful for. And I'm incredibly grateful to all the listeners for having phoned each week and voted me through.
How does that work, the phoning vote?
Well, on a Friday night, we perform live to a live studio audience, and it goes out literally second by second live to the great British public, who then at the end of the show, when the last performer sings their final note, the lines open, and people can phone in for their favourite. And that night, we find out who didn't make the final cut. And last week we found Jimmy Osmond wasn't able to make it into the final group, and Danny from McFly, who was a wonderful, wonderful chap and a mate of mine and a great singer, it wasn't his best week, and he was in the bottom two, and we were all completely shocked because he had one of the best songs, which was Time to Say Goodbye, the Andrea Bocelli song. And so each week we're on tenterhooks because we just don't know.
Were you struggling with Granada?
I had a real challenge with it during the week. I have to admit, I didn't know how to get my teeth into it. And then I got a call from my dad just 10 minutes before I go on. And he said, good, you know, break a leg, thinking of you, love you dearly. And I said, Dad, I'm having a real problem with this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it any justice. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, just imagine everyone in the audience is naked. And I was like, I do that one every time I go on stage. And I said, I know, but, you know, I don't know if that will relate very well to Granada. And he said, well, look, Granada is one of the most romantic places in the world. He said, that's where your mum and I renewed our wedding vows. And I said, well, Dad, you could have told me that at the beginning of the week.
I said, instead of me struggling.
Yeah, I've been struggling all week. And so all I did was I imagined my mum and dad in the sunset in Granada. And I imagined the Alhambra, which is a beautiful palace, which is in Granada. And I imagined them there. And I was so caught up in that image, I lost myself in the song, and I think I sang it the best yet that week. And so I realized that music is so much about connection and your emotional connection, a bit like your humor and your stand-up and your comedy. I know whenever I've listened to you that you've been in a position where the stuff that's resonated the most with you is the stuff that people find the funniest, or the things that resonate the most with you when you've been passionate about being a patron of different charities. I know that's because you have an emotional resonance with that. And I think that's what makes us human.
I think I should care about. I think I should be quite cruel to you now, Darius. I think I should ring the producer, ask them to let you do it again, and imagine the audience are naked, and let's hear how it sounds this time.
No, even better. But I think what we should do is we should have the audience literally naked and singing it.
Oh, I don't know. There's some real old people in there. Oh, some audible sights, I should imagine. No disrespect to anybody listening. Are you excited about the program? Or are you nervous about it?
Well, I'll be really honest with you, Pete. Last week, I was petrified because I was thinking, I really want to do, my dad proud. Mm. He's been up and down with his struggle with cancer, and he was on death's door a number of times, and he stared it right in the eye, and he's fought for his sons. I'm the eldest of three, and the youngest, Cyrus, is 15 now, but when he was 10. And Dad was first struck down with the cancer. Really, he fought for my little brother Cyrus. He said, "Look, I've done my job as a doctor." He invented the first heart, lung, kidney machine for premature babies 30 years ago, and he's been a gastroenterologist for the last 20 years. And he said, "I've done my job and my work as a doctor, and I've done the best that I can as a husband, and I did the best that I could as a father for you and for your middle brother." He said, "But I want to fight on for Cyrus." He said, "It's not right that I die before he has a chance to grow up and be a man." And he really used that as his motivation to fight. And since that day, I've always wanted to make my parents proud.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all do. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what it is. You want to make your mum and dad happy. You want to make them proud. And you want them to see that you're not only doing okay, but that you're doing well. But since that moment, I realised how much he'd sacrificed in his life for other people.
Darius, before you go, talk us briefly through what happens. Right, Friday, you've got through. Talk us the week from Saturday.
Saturday, we get our song for the Friday evening. So I have just been given my song for this forthcoming show. And it's from The Marriage of Figaro. And then we spend the weekend trying to learn the notes and the lyrics. And we have sessions with Catherine Jenkins and Rolanda Villazon. And we work through the week in mastering the technique of opera. And we try and stage it in such a way that makes sense to us. And you put your heart and soul into it. And hopefully on the Friday night, you open your mouth and some music comes out. And so I'll be singing on Friday, and definitely I sing with my dad in my heart, and certainly I hope that the audience at home enjoy it, and I just thank everyone for their votes and their continued support, and I hope to be coming back to Liverpool. If I win this, I promise to come and sing live on your show, and I promise to come to Liverpool and make sure that one of the main performances that I do is in Liverpool, because it's a place that I call a home from home. It's very similar to Glasgow, and a place that I've had many exciting performances when I did Guys and Dolls and when I did my pop tour back in 2004. And so looking forward, I've kind of got Friday in my sights, and who knows what will happen after that.
Who's your biggest competition in your eyes?
Myself.
Yeah.
Really, the biggest hurdle that you've got is the psychological one of letting go and letting go of the tension and the nerves that you put within your own mind.
Mm.
And deep down, I wish that everybody could win, because it's such a unique opportunity to be able to sing with the best and be trained by the best. And kind of selfishly, I want to stay in it because I'm enjoying learning and being a student of music again and learning from these fascinating people that have spent 30 years training to sing one song. And I get to do it in a short period of time. And you know what it's like. When you meet someone that you admire, you just want to spend time with them and you want to learn as much as you can from them.
And it's great to do a job that you enjoy and also to get paid for something you do. What did you feel the first time you stepped onto a West End stage? Did you think you would make it? So you did think that, didn't you? Because you really do believe in yourself.
When I first stepped onto a West End stage, I couldn't really believe it because you spend your childhood looking up to performers that you admire, and then you blink and you're not a kid anymore and you're a young man, and then you're on that stage doing it yourself. And I do it because of the love of music and performance, and I do it because I love the reaction that I get from people when you do something that you know pleased them or that you know that they enjoyed. Or I love writing songs because often it gives you a chance to describe something that someone isn't able to articulate themselves. And I suppose performing opera is something that is a bit of an enigma to me, in that a lot of the time, because we don't understand the language, you're moved by it, but you don't know why. And finally, I've had the chance to stop and actually examine three different languages over the last 3 weeks, French, Spanish, and Italian, and try and learn the language as much as I can in a short period to understand what I'm singing so I can really give it my best on the night and allow people to connect with what I'm singing with.
What time's the show on?
It's on at 9 o'clock on ITV on Friday night.
Tell me, Miss Sweeney was in the audience last night, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's clear. She is an absolute doll.
She is.
I tell you, if there's anyone in show business that is down to earth and that has a belting voice on her and is a great actress, it's Claire Sweeney. She is just dynamite, and I was really lucky that we kind of crossed paths. We've crossed paths for years now and have been mates for a while. But when she did Guys and Dolls, I tell you, if you didn't see it and it ever comes up again, you've got to watch her do it. She's just blinding. She's very, very entertaining.
Yes, and I'm delighted to say I met the late Patrick Swayze.
I know.
With her, and she was, you know, it was just, I remember being in the dressing room. Michael Ball was there. Everybody was there. He walked in and I pushed everyone out the way and pinned him against the wall. But that's another story. Darius, best of luck for Friday.
Oh, Pete, you're a gent. It's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me on. And I look forward to seeing you very soon.
The best of Pete Price on City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.